certainly the citizens in my district were entitled to know where's the money going and what's the nature of the project. And so we decided to put together this interactive map of the district where people can click on an icon and look at the nature of the project and how much is allocated for it. And it's proved pretty popular.
I'll bet. And it's on your website, so you can reach it through your website, connolly.house.gov.
That's right.
And I'm going to go there now.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I just clicked on a subway-looking little icon. It says Recovery Act, $202 million for Metro Rail.
I just clicked
that one on by coincidence, and certainly Metro Rail is in the news. Give us an example. How will that money be used?
That's going to be used for a number of upgrades to the system. Badly needed capital for Metro, of course. The tragedy of the other day just underscores how badly Metro is in need of upgrading after 30 successful years of operations. So that's one of the biggest items, obviously, in the list that all of us in the region went got behind, those of us who supported the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and badly needed capital and sort of a little bit of a placeholder for what we hope will be additional dedicated funding for Metro over the next 10 years.
And this, I'm looking at the map now. It's got plenty of funding in Alexandria. I see little house icons. Do you want to explain what some of the icons represent?
Well, in some cases, the icons represent homelessness prevention or a justice grant to our police or sheriffs. There's a flood prevention program in there. A few years ago at Lake Barton, we were very concerned that an earthen dam might not hold because of torrential rains. This is a very welcome money by Fairfax County, $4.35 million to help in the restoration of that dam to protect the houses downstream. There's George Mason University gets some research grants and teacher training grants to help train new teachers and get them into the classroom. So there's a wide variety of things. Of course, two of the biggest items are Prince William County Schools and Fairfax County Schools in terms of some assistance for them that will make a big difference in making sure that we don't have to lay off teachers and we don't have to double up on class size.
And as I click on some of the icons, I've clicked on two hikers down in the Prince William Forest Park, and it pops up a little explanation about what the project is, rehabilitate 13 historic structures in Camp Pleasant, as well as repair deteriorating culverts and resurface 11 miles of road and parking surfaces.
And that's $5.5 million.
And so will that kind of information, as these projects get underway, will you update how far along?
Okay. Absolutely. And that's going to happen especially in infrastructure projects or projects such as the one you just described because they're going to be in various phases. Some are easier than others to, for example, there's money in there for the Prince William County bus system. Obviously, the expenditure that's to try to purchase some new buses, that's a relatively easy thing to track. The project you just described obviously is going to happen over a period of time. And, yes, that will be updated so people can follow and track the progress.
And Congressman Connolly, we're speaking with Congressman from Virginia, Jerry Connolly, Democrat of Northern Virginia. And there's been some back and forth discussion about whether the money has really gotten out into the economy yet or whether the dollars are simply allocated or obligated but not actually spent. And so what's your sense of how fast the money is actually turning into money that is getting into the economy?
Well, you're always caught in the horns of a dilemma when you're in the public sector in this kind of case. You want those dollars out there as quickly as possible so that they're achieving the goal, namely right the economy, put people back to work while also improving infrastructure or whatever the given project may be. On the other hand, you want to make sure that procedures are in place so that there's accurate accountability for the project and transparency so people can make sure that dollars aren't being wasted. So it is this delicate balance. I'd like to see it go a little faster, but I wouldn't want to sacrifice accountability and transparency in the process. So, and we've had testimony from Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, a Bush appointee, who publicly has stated that he believes the stimulus is beginning to work, that it's actually having the desired effect. That's pretty high praise from the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
And it is difficult, though, as you point out, because states who are getting the money and will obligate the funds wanted to, at least get some some direction from OMB before they really started to spend this in earnest. So they weren't doing things that were really not countervening what the federal government wanted them to accomplish. Is that true in Virginia, too?
I think so. We've worked very closely with the governor and most of the congressional delegation about these projects, especially the infrastructure projects. Secretary Homer, who's the Secretary of Transportation, has worked closely with all of us. So I think it's working fairly smoothly in Virginia.
And how, I'm curious as to how you were able to identify so many projects so quickly. Or maybe, well, it's been back since February, so maybe it's not so fast.
Well, you know, remember, we talked about shovel-ready projects. So we'd done a lot of, if I can use the expression, spade work on these projects well in advance of even the passage of the legislation. We wanted to make sure we could take things quickly off the shelf and get them moving. And so we had a long list of projects ready to go that qualify for funding. And I think you see that reflected on this map.
And do you have poor, beleaguered interns or staffers burning the midnight oil to update the map?
I don't know how beleaguered they are, but we have a lot of dedicated staffers and interns who are working very hard on this. This is sort of an innovative way of trying to connect with our public directly. And I love the fact that technology allows me to do that as a public servant. And my staff was very enthusiastic and very innovative in coming up with this project. My chief of staff kind of came up with the idea, James Walkinshaw, and did a great job in getting this done. And it's attracted an awful lot of attention in other Capitol Hill offices who would like to emulate this. And so we're helping actually train some other offices about how we did it and how they might be able to do it as well.
It really mirrors what the Obama administration is doing with recovery.gov. And they just have, OMB just announced this new EPA site that'll gather information from states and from, you know, other subcontractors to count the number of jobs. Are you doing that? Are you evaluating job creation? And how are you using that model?
That's a little harder to do. We know that in our district, the estimate was that from the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, when fully implemented and completed, should have created somewhere around as many as 9,300 jobs. So we're going to do the best we can to try to track that, but that's a little harder to do, attributing precise numbers of jobs to a particular project or investment.
We're talking this morning to Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly, who's got an interactive map. You can find it through his website at connolly.house.gov. And just quickly before we let you go, Congressman, wanted to get your read on the climate change bill, the energy bill that's making its way through, and also health care reform. What do you think the prognosis of those two major pieces of legislation might be?
In the House of Representatives, I think the prognosis is good. There's a lot of support for moving forward on the energy bill. I'm going to support it. I've been actually whipping for that bill among the freshman class. And while I understand some concerns in some quarters, it's got a lot of business support. It's got a lot of labor support. It's got the environmental support. We have to create the framework that actually stimulates the creation of markets for the new green economy. And what's interesting is so many electric utility companies or other utility companies and extraction companies actually have gotten behind the bill, including Dominion Resources right here in Virginia. They know something. They know that as they look out to the future, if they're going to stay competitive, they've got to be participating in a big way, in a market way, not just an experimental way, in a new and renewable energy resources. And so they're supportive of the bill. So I'm pretty confident we'll have the votes today or tomorrow to pass that legislation, and that will be a historic moment. With respect to health care, most of us who ran for Congress last year, at least on our side of the aisle, ran on a pledge that we were going to do everything in our power to bring about comprehensive health care reform because our system is broken. What's been really very heartening in the last week is a series of polls that show overwhelming numbers of Americans recognize the system is broken and want to make sure we fix it. Now, there are lots of the devil's going to be in the details about how we fix it, and that's still being debated in Congress. But I think the political will is there to move in health care reform as well, certainly in the House. And I think both pieces of legislation will pass the House this session of Congress.
Well, sir, we hope to have you back to talk more about those things as they move through.
Love to do it.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. And nice map. We appreciate your input on that.
Thank you so much.